All right, this is an experiment. Finish the sentence. He who sings prays twice. He who sings badly.
Sings badly.
Beautiful. Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your co-host, Adrian, here with... This is where you say your name.
Hi, this is Gabe Reyes.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about music. Why would that be? Let's give Gabe a chance to introduce himself.
Yeah, thanks, Adrian. So, my name is Gabe. I grew up in Southern California, specifically the Whittier area. So, I've been... in Whittier most of my life, and have been a part of several parishes in the area, and eventually moved out of the area to work in youth ministry in the Archdiocese of LA, and then the Archdiocese of San Bernardino, and then finally back in Los Angeles, where then I transitioned into Catholic high school theology full-time. So... and now I'm doing a podcast, so I'm definitely moving up in the world.
I don't know if this is moving up, but hey, you're moving. Definitely. I wanted to really, since I don't get to talk about these kinds of things too much, I wanted to talk about music a little bit and how it relates to us as men. And one of the things that I noticed is that as we grow up, we're held hostage whenever we're in our parents' homes. And so we're forced to listen to the music that they like. And so we either start pretending that we like it or we actually like it because we just hear it so much. And that's what I noticed happened with me at first. And then reaching the teenage years, I started entering a kind of a stage of rebellion where I went away from what my parents were listening to. But now as I'm older, I notice that I'm kind of, I don't know, I still kind of like the stuff that I used to listen to when I was young. Not all of it. Because there's some that's just like kind of cringy, you know, the stuff that you're going to filter out no matter what. But then there's the stuff that I'm going to listen to. And I really wanted to get your input on music. Because one of the things that you're known for around these parts of town is music. You're the music guy. We're taking kind of a little bit of a time out from vacation Bible school. I mean, not me, my wife's volunteering, but you do the music.
I grew up with a lot of music. Both of my parents... you know, come from Mexican-American background. So, you know, Spanish music of all kinds of genres were things that we heard growing up. But my dad also, you know, exposed us to reggae and jazz and oldies, which I guess are still oldies today. There'll always be oldies.
Forever.
But I think that's really cool because it's timeless music. Like you can hear all the songs that I heard in my dad's truck or in the garage or at home while we were cleaning. That's what most Mexican-American families do, is play music really, really loud while we're cleaning.
Or having parties.
I'm not sure. Or having parties,
yeah. Or waking up the kids.
Yeah. We play music really, really loud for pretty much anything we do.
Yeah.
But I was exposed to so much of it. And I remember, for me, when I got into church music... liturgical or praise and worship, when I started learning and doing that type of music, it really helped me appreciate everything that I had been exposed to prior to. Because once I started learning music, I started to really understand how music that is praising God, music that is worshipful, how much different it truly is, like how much more pure and intentional it is. And I think for me, as you know, growing up, it was just realizing that my parents did give me something of value, even if I didn't appreciate it at the moment. Later on, I did, because I ended up taking a music appreciation class at some point in college, and that really pointed me into the direction of wanting to play guitar, wanting to understand music, you know, as an art, something that really moves a soul. And I would say that most songs, if not all, for some person move their soul. And for guys, we're all over the spectrum, but what does it really mean? I mean, is it just, we just play what we're in the mood to hear, or are we really thirsting for something deeper? And so we go into that song, or we choose a song based on that. So I think there's a lot of psychology in it as well. I have a background in psychology, so I really try to understand it from that point of view too. So there's a lot of angles that we can take this.
Yeah, sometimes when I hear some songs like Led Zeppelin, All My Love, or The Who, Love Rain Over Me, you listen to the music and you hear the lyrics and it sounds lovely, but there's so much pain behind it. You know, and you're like, what the heck gave birth to that song? And then if you read up on it, for example, with Led Zeppelin, you find out it was his child died in a car accident. His wife left him. He was very sick and couldn't do much, you know. And so that gave birth to that song called All My Love. And so it's kind of interesting how certain songs come about, or Happy, for example, that song that everyone loves. It's like, what is the genesis of that? And how is it that out of so much pain can come so much happiness, so much love?
I think that most of the songs about love come from some sort of searching, some sort of pain, suffering, loss. And yet when we hear it, you know, on the radio, or we hear it, we listen to it, it's so beautiful because it's composed in such a way that it's real, it's authentic, it's composed to communicate something through the instrumentation, through the voice, through the melody. So when we break it down that way, a song could be really beautiful, moving, very inspiring to us. But you're right, the backstory could be a place of suffering, a place where somebody was in a profound depression, or in a time of loss. And I think it's interesting because when we look at songs that we use to praise God, like praise and worship songs, I look at those and I think, you know, most of what we sing comes from a place of needing God, like, and trying to express that in as best we can. And so we have all these songs where we're really just expressing to God how much we love him or how much we need him. And so in that sense, secular music sort of does that, but I don't think people are really aware that their soul is really reaching for God. And so the song becomes the end of, you know, sort of comes the culmination of it, and maybe they don't recognize God in that.
That's really, really where I wanted to go to, and it brings me to the next point, which is where secular music excels, Christian music really fails. You know, when it comes to production value, and I noticed that there's a certain rise in production value in Christian music in recent years. But I remember for the longest time, I was like, man, this is cringy. Or like, man, that sounds like Blink 182. Or like, man, that sounds like this or that. Which is basically just taking elements of pop and bringing it to the Christian world. And it all seems so, I don't know, disingenuous. Like, they want to make a hit, but they want to talk about God. And so where secular music is failing, Christian music thrives. But I feel like it needs to find its own voice at this point, and it's getting close to it. And I'm wondering where you see Christian music going in the future.
You know, what I've discovered is there's a lot of artists out there. And I think, you know, Christian radio plays some great music. But if you really go out and look, Gunger, for example, there's an album that they were involved in that I've been listening to for a year now, and it's so beautifully done because it's so, you know, you have your guitar, your piano, your violins, and they're just singing, and you wouldn't really know at, you know, all the for every song that it's to God or that it's a prayer. And I think that's where I think people can really start discovering that not all songs have to explicitly, you know, be something where people immediately turn it off when they hear the word God, you know, because there are a lot of people that can be evangelized to or that can be moved by music that is in the Christian, you know, genre. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing. I would say probably for me, one of the biggest influences in my life has been Switchfoot, the band Switchfoot, and specifically the lead singer of that, John Foreman. He created his own albums
on
his solo projects. And those are probably the ones that, you know, people can listen to and realize, like, man, these are all love songs in some way, shape, or form. And they can really break those down, because he did them in he did four albums, basically surrounded by each season of the year. And for me, that stands out because when I was hearing those albums, I thought anybody could listen to this, right? And the more they listen to it, whether they believe in God or not, they're going to be tasting some spiritual presence, some, you know, some moment where they might realize, like, this is profound. God is here in this song. You know, Switchfoot themselves as a band has been around for so long now, and although they're touring and traveling the world playing their music, which their music is a great quality, you know, radio won't play their music really. You know, every now and again you'll hear a Switchfoot song, but their music, I mean, their music without saying, and I don't know, I haven't sat down and talked to them about this, but without saying the word God, they find a way for their albums to be about God, you know?
Yeah.
And so people can hear those and be moved in ways that maybe they encounter something deeper.
Yeah, and that Switchfoot, you know, funny thing you mentioned, it's one of the bands that I've been listening to for years. I mean, such a long time. And I remember one of their songs got popularized by a movie. I can't remember the name of it. It's got Mandy Moore. She's got cancer.
Oh, yeah, The Notebook.
Yes, that's it. I went to a Switchfoot concert, and it was in Hollywood. It was just this venue where you don't usually go and see a Christian artist, because that's not, they're not a Christian band per se, but like you said, their message is so Christian. It's hard to not pick it up if you know anything about the Christian faith. And I noticed that one thing happened when they were singing that song, Only Hope. A lot of people started lifting their hands up in prayer. And I noticed some people that were to my left, they were freaking out, like, what do they know about this band that we don't know?
Yeah, I've been at Switchfoot concerts because my brother is the super fan. And I've been to a lot. Oh, yeah, I
remember. He won a contest on social media.
He won every contest. I've been to a lot of Switchfoot concerts. And I think the crowd, I mean, you can kind of, you know, meet people and talk to them and look around. And, you know, because of what maybe they're wearing, their church T-shirt or, you know, their whatever it might be, you can, you know, there's a Christian audience there. Yeah. But there's people that are not, and they just like the music. And when they have played that particular song, you know, it doesn't sound, because it's related to the movie, you don't, people don't automatically think that Only Hope is talking about God as our only hope. But it's a beautiful way for them to share that prayer with those who would not normally be exposed to it or think about it that way. And so they just have a way of making music that can speak to everybody. You know, they are a rock band, but I think a lot of their songs are definitely, you know, a little lighter, and people can really listen to it with an open mind. So, I mean, that's the kind of band I wish radio played more, but they're not, you know, they're more of an independent artist.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you were mentioning all this stuff about, like, not even picking up on certain things, but man, I remember driving to through Yosemite and just looking at the mountains, and it's just such a beautiful sight. You can just look at it and appreciate it. But looking at it and appreciating it with, like, something like Ubi Caritas by Audrey Assad playing in the background, like, I kid you not, we were, like, driving to the valley, and it was, like, an hour drive, and we were playing that song over and over again.
In Woodland Hills, the valley?
This guy.
Are you still talking about Yosemite?
Still talking about Yosemite. Still talking about the mountains. Still talking about... Why are you like this,
like,
man?
I'm going through Canoga Park, listening to Audrey Assad.
This is the hood. I see my cousin's lowriders over there.
Yeah, that's a different kind of music.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's something that takes you somewhere else when you're already somewhere else?
Over the last couple of years, I've been really more in tune to the journey of Justin Bieber, who, you know,
we all have.
I think has, you know, we publicly, because he's so famous, popular, and his music is, you know, popular. Mm-hmm. You know, his sort of Christian journey has now come into that into the surface.
Yeah.
There's a couple songs that I've actually heard that he's recorded and added to his albums that are really profound and really you can really sense that desire in his heart that he's now expressing, you know, in this sort of relationship with God that he's discovered. And cool. I remember seeing also a clip of him playing a Christian song, a worship song, in his concert.
Dang, I heard something about
just in the middle of that, right?
Yeah.
So I think that example, it lends us to step back and realize, like, hey, these artists, yes, they some of them are, you know, millionaires making all this money because we have consumed their music. You know, they are the top artists, but they are people too, and I think they can be ministered to through music just as much as mm-hmm. we have. And that's essentially what's happened. You know, people have reached out to them, and now their craft, their talent has now, they've really realized, like, okay, I can really do something with this that I've never done before. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's definitely a beauty. I love what you're saying about driving, you know, to Yosemite, and having certain music playing. You know, everyone seems to have this sort of moment where if we're driving in the car for more than 30 minutes, or if we're going to be in the car the whole day, we make a playlist, or we're traveling somewhere, we make a playlist.
Yeah.
And we love driving to certain songs, you know, to sing along, especially if there's other people in the car. We love to make music a part of our journey. And for me, I think it's no different, right? It's like, you know, if I travel somewhere, there's two things I do. Either I have a playlist I make because I just want to really enjoy my journey a certain way, and that song, that playlist can include, you know, secular music that I like and that keeps me going and inspires me, but it could also be mixed in with Christian songs that I love to listen to and sing along with. That's the beautiful part of it, is that you can also just shuffle.
Every day I'm on. Shuffling.
Every day. I think that's a music reference.
No. I actually shuffle every day.
So sometimes, depending on what's going on in my life, I think as a guy, you really look at, okay, how am I doing as a man? How am I serving my family, my friends? How am I serving God? How am I doing my relationships? And sometimes the music can really be can speak to that and what we need. You know, before we started today, I was looking up just songs and just typed in the word love. And I think there's so many songs, probably more songs are written about love than anything else. Mm-hmm. And what does that say to where our world is today and how we desire this love that, you know, as you and I know, only God can satisfy it. And so how do these songs lead people closer to kind of that reality?
I wanted to rudely interrupt and just mention this continuing on that songs in the car thing. You know, like I noticed that one of the things that happens is I stop listening to a certain type of music. You know, I can't listen to the same heavy metal I was listening to before having kids. You know, it has to be like a select few songs, and it's no longer the same. You know, I can't listen to hip hop, and it's kind of a good thing because I have kids, and I don't want my 5-year-old singing to certain lyrics that I wouldn't want certain words to come out of her mouth. So why are they getting into my ears? View, and that's not to say you have to give up your whole identity, but it means that I need to start introducing them to good music, you know, stuff that's good but doesn't compromise their morals, because there is that to say. I mean, this could be a whole other podcast episode just talking about that, but I really like that thing that happened in my life. I mean, my kids are getting older now. They're like 10, 9, and 5. You know, but just having them around and being in the car with them kind of purified my playlists, you know. And so I think that's kind of an important thing for guys to not play the kind of music you wouldn't want your kids to be not just hearing, but to be speaking. Because what happens is they start singing them, you know, just like we start singing them, those songs start popping up into our heads and whatnot. And you know, garbage in, garbage out. Like you are what you eat. Like your thoughts are whatever you put into it, that's what you're gonna get.
Yeah, I think for me, my kids are my students, and so I play, you know, in class I'll play a playlist with all Christian music, and they can be exposed, because I don't think that's the music they're downloading.
Yep.
They can hear Christian. You know, I try to pick the best quality stuff that they're maybe that will appeal to them. So as parents, because I know some parents, you know, it's an interesting, you know, journey to introduce them to music, but also to have that awareness that not all music is going to be healthy for them, you know, or good for them. but that eventually they're going to discover music on their own as adults. You know, they're gonna kind of be led into where they feel music speaks to them, because really in secular music you can argue that there's a worship there, there's a desire to give of themselves, but they don't realize what they're giving themselves to.
Yeah, and like you said, it ends with the song, whereas when we're talking about that song about Switchfoot, it leads to something else. You know, it's never the end all and be all of creation. Creation is not the end all and be all of everything. You know, it points to the Creator. And just going back to that idea of music in the car, if you give your kids junk food at the beginning of their lives, when they get older, that's all they're going to know. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I teach my kids how to cook, and I bring in like organic ingredients and like real stuff that they can smell and they can cut. Because when they get older, they know the good stuff. They know the real stuff. They know, you know, when you're looking at that playlist, they know authentic love, and they can recognize all the counterfeits from the real thing.
Yeah, I think when it comes to our influence on the younger generation, whether it's your own kids, for me, it's students who are still fairly young and are really searching for love. When I get to talk to them and get to know them, music becomes a great conversation, you know, not only starter, but it becomes part of our conversation, because I can say, hey, listen to this song. Because now I know what they're going through, and the song will communicate something. And so as a teacher, you know, I can have that same influence that a father might have on his children by saying, hey, let's listen to these songs. And so I try to give my students a kind of music that, you know, they may have never heard before, but two, that will communicate to them where they're at. And it's difficult, because a lot of times they'll hear these songs over and over, because we are a Catholic school, and they might just see it as sing-along songs, or these are songs that are for our school time. And our goal is to make this kind of music, you know, part of their existence, part of like who they are, to always want and desire to worship and praise God. And that's what I hope they'll get.
Really want to thank you for not just joining us for the podcast, but actually for doing what you're doing here, because I know it has an effect on my kids. Like, they love the stuff. You know, you see my 5-year-old kind of jumping around.
VBS is no joke. It's been like, it's intense. Yeah, it's intense. Cool. We have almost 200 people here. And when I sing the song, once they learned a song, they every day they just sang it louder and louder. And I think that's a beautiful way to kind of maybe close the conversation, is that's really what music is. We have a song, it's for God, and as we journey through life, we just sing it louder and louder. And I think their example as children has been a gift to me, because they're so innocent, and they're just, all they know is this song is for God. And so they have no shame, they have no reservation, they just sing it loud.
Yep. And see, and that's how I wanted to close the podcast, but then you go and hijack everything and whatever, man. All right, see you guys later, peace. I'm just kidding. No, and it's cool, you know, because it's going to keep going. You know, that's the beautiful thing. It's going to keep going. I have this microphone, this computer, and my 5-year-old wants to record that song.
That's so nice, yeah.
Yeah, she does.
What's cool is, like, the difference between these kids who are, you know, little, I guess from like first through seventh or eighth grade, from high school kids or young adults, is like these kids are running to me, asking me like, what's that song? What's it called? I want to download it. I want to tell my mom. I want to tell my dad. You know, all their kids are like, you know, nah, I don't need that. You know, mm-hmm. It's sort of this different phase that they're in where they consume by music that drowns out, you know, what they don't want to accept or the realities of who they are in the world. Mm-hmm. And so they listen to all this music, whereas these little kids realize this song is everything. Yeah. This is the song I need. And we want younger generation to embrace worship so that it's not just a category,
but
it's something, it's music that they can not only add to their playlist, but they can use on their journey, on their faith journey, at any time, whether they're going through suffering or joys. So that's our hope, right? That that's we influence them.
And that's what we need to listen to today. So thank you for joining us. And
thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That's really, really where I wanted to go to. And it brings me to the next point, which is Weird Al music. I'm just kidding. No.